You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed. So prayer is a powerful tool, but like any skill, it takes practice to harness its potential truly. Whether you are new to the concept of prayer or a seasoned believer, understanding the fundamental principles behind effective prayer can deepen your relationship with God and enhance your spiritual life. How do you ensure your prayers are meaningful and impactful, right? So we're going to be unpacking it now with my elder Jonathan Nyamba, on how, you know, we can the essentials of an effective prayer, basically, and why prayer is actually so necessary. My elder Muribuanji, how are you?
Very fine, and thank you so much. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us once again.
Amen. Thank you for having me. I'm blessed with the privilege.
Amen. So before we start, since we're speaking about prayer, can you please open with the word of prayer?
Okay, shall we pray? Our loving and living God in heaven, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you for the privilege of life. Loving God, as we delve into your word, we plead for exceptional wisdom from on high, that Lord, what we speak will bring glory and honor to your holy name. Thank you for this program. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, we're speaking about all things prayer. And earlier on, when I was doing a throw forward, and I was like, you know, some people argue saying, just do that prayer in the book of Matthew, you know, our Father who art in heaven, you're done with your life. Others are saying, no, that is just a template, you know. Others, you know, they're like, they remind us saying that, you know, the scripture there that says, don't pray amiss. Don't just mumble, and you're thinking you're praying and you're not. You know, so I was like, I'm happy we're having this conversation so that as we're ending the year, we can end it, you know, on a good note when it comes to our prayer life. So when we speak about praying with sincerity, you know, what does that look like? And why is sincerity important to God? I mean, he knows everything, you know. So even if I tell him something and I'm not sincere, he knows, you know. But why is sincerity super important?
Well, praying with sincerity is super important, like you have said, because the Bible tells us, okay, starting with just what prayer is itself. Mm-hmm. It's been defined in many ways, but Ellen White says it's opening of your heart to God and to a friend. Already you can see that the undertone there is being sincere. Mm-hmm. When you are praying, don't blame things, don't excuse things, don't hide things. Otherwise, elsewhere the Bible says, if in my heart I have considered evil, even my prayer is an abomination. So sincerity is just you coming as you are, things as they are, put them to God as they are, clearly, just being honest, being open, being authentic, and being transparent. That way, God, who understands and knows us, will accept us, for we are ready to take responsibility and what we think. We should, yes.
Okay, but he knows. So why must I be sincere, my elder? Like, I mean, really now. Like, he knows that I need money for December holidays. So when I'm asking now, why must I be sincere?
Yeah, so you see, I think that what you will learn over time is that prayer is very, I would say, complicated, in the sense that it's not something you can learn desktop. It's something you learn in practice. So God knows our needs, but he still says, ask and it shall be given unto you. So it looks like God wants it. Ellen White says prayer lifts us up to God and not bringing God down. In other words, he's asking us to commune with him. And as we commune with him, we get acquainted with him. He gives to us the things that we ask. He would say, ask for anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Why wouldn't you give it to us before we ask? There are certain things that will not happen to us except we ask. So really, the aspect of us being sincere to ask for that which we want, while God knows what we need, he will answer us, and we'll have the joy of the answered prayer and the interaction with God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Elder, you know, there are times where we are encouraged, for example, to say when you wake up, maybe if you waking up at six, you know, pray at six. And then maybe, you know, you pray during your tea time, which is maybe 9 o'clock. You know, you pray maybe around six at night before, you know, where you develop a routine that is able, for example, to help you with consistent prayers and everything else. You know, how important is that? And should we actually really develop a routine? What if I don't wake up at six? You know, what if I wake up at nine? Won't that destabilize me in a way? Because remember, there are people who stick to routines to the T, you know. And also, since we talk to God at any time, at any place, when we are having a routine, wouldn't that hinder that, you know, flexibility? Or maybe do we really need a routine, or we can just go random?
Good question and practical question. If prayer is talking to God like unto a friend, we cannot schedule conversations with friends.
Yes.
That is why you hear the Bible says, pray without ceasing.
Mm.
So when the Bible says, pray without ceasing, the Bible is saying we need to have a frame of mind where we are able to connect and commune with God.
Mm.
But insofar as routine is concerned, we have got biblical position where we can pick up and learn the aspect of routine. I think it must be Psalms 55, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the Bible says, evening and morning and noon, mm-hmm. I will pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice.
Yeah.
So you can already pick it up from there that David is saying that for him, every evening, every morning, and at noontime, three times a day, he will do what? He will cry to pray.
Yes.
Man is a creature of habit.
Okay.
And so it's good to form good habits. In sales, we talk about a good working habits, prospecting and appointments, and then you're going to. So it's not meant that you can't work without this formula.
Mm.
But if you developed this habit, it will speak. You will know to say, if I want to increase myself, I must prospect more. They say there's a formula of 10-6-1. If you have 10 prospects, you will close. You will have 6 appointments, and you close one case. So, if you want to close 10 cases, what does it imply? You increase on your prospects, and you are going to have more appointments. The same is the case with this routine and habit in prayer.
Mm.
If you develop the habit of praying in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, and because there's something pressing, you really are seeking God's face, you are going to intensify on this routine. You will now find that you're going to add, for example, fasting.
Okay.
You're going to add, for example, instead of you waiting from morning till noon, in between you still steal away some time and go and pray. But you'll have maintained the same framework and the habit, and just it changes in intensity and frequency.
Okay. Let's shift my elder to the issue of faith, right? The role that faith actually plays in our prayers. And also, I want us to look at, you know, it's coming to me now. Does this faith only work when we are asking, you know, from God? Because if I'm thinking, God, what am I hoping for? Hey, my questions today.
Okay.
You know, because here I am. Let's say today, elder, I'm praying. Like, let's say I'm praying. I'm just thanking God, you know, for me coming back to work nicely and everything went nicely. I'm just thanking God. I'm just grateful, you know. What is the role of faith there, you know? Because others may say that, no, faith actually only works in prayer when you are asking for something, you know, like, God, I'm asking that, you know, let this year end nicely for me. You know, like, when we're gonna travel, let us travel safely. God, I'm asking. Now my faith now works. Guti, I'm hoping that God, you know, is gonna answer what I have asked for, you know. So if you can just talk to us there in terms of faith, when it comes to our prayer life.
So prayer and faith are intertwined, because elsewhere you're going to find the Bible will say, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Mm.
So when we have faith in God, in fact, God says, he that comes to me must believe. You should believe that I am able to reward those that are coming. So in the first place, why are you coming to thank me if you don't believe that I'm the one who gave
who
you?
Who gave you?
You get the logic. So our faith in thanking God is helping us that we align our hearts to the will of God. My faith in God is demonstrated in prayer, even if it's a prayer of thanksgiving, because I am saying, I trusted in you and you have given me. Your answer is good enough for me. So in that particular case, my faith is demonstrating that I'm aligned to the will of God, that I trust his wisdom and his ability. Elsewhere, I read Ellen White says, God is too wise to error.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to exercise faith when you are asking. It's another to exercise faith when you have received an answer maybe different from what you expected. You still demonstrate faith by you trusting his wisdom and ability. So then you can see that faith is crucial in our life, in our prayer life, and generally just for in order for us to understand and appreciate God, because it's from there that we'll be able to have comfort, strength, and hope, because our faith in God will make us to realize that whatever is happening in our lives is as a result of our connection and communion with God.
I like that, you know, that it works both ways, because, you know, with the question, how I was phrasing it is that we will have those conversations like, faith actually, you know, it works when you're asking, because and we call it the substance of things hoped for. I'm like,
in fact, you are right. In a sense, you are very right. We get to see people talk about the faith, the power, and, you know, exercising faith mostly when you're asking for something. When you ask, then you stand and you walk in faith.
Yes.
But I think that it would be fair to say faith in our prayer life is that aspect. Because if you have a faith in your car, you know, to say, I trust my car. It will take me to where I am going.
Yes.
But even when the car is parked, you have faith that as I walk to the car, the engine will start and I will go.
Yes.
So you trust your car when it is parked. You trust it when it is running. So it's more to do with how your disposition towards that item in whichever condition you are. So it is with faith in God. You trust him so much that even when you have received, you celebrate to say, it's because I trusted you. That is why I have received so much. And so your faith is intertwined through and through in your prayer life. That is how I would put it in my own words.
Yeah. Now let's talk about, you know, the issues of distractions, right? And staying focused when we are praying. So I get we talk or we pray to God at any time and at any place, right? I know that there are people that actually pray even when they're looking for parking space at the mall. and then I ask myself, how do you not get distracted? You know, at home, yes, maybe the kids might decide to cry when you're praying. Maybe you might hear some funny noises, you know, and then you want to check that. I would understand in a way, you know, because those would be things that maybe you really need to check. But then in instances where now you are praying and then your phone is going off, my elder, you ding, 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 messages are coming through, you know. How do you deal with that? And for those who pray, even in the most interesting places, like your parking lots, like when they're driving and everything else, how do you keep your mind on God when you're driving and there's someone who's about to overtake you, or they're driving badly and you are praying, you are driving, yes, your eyes are not closed, obviously, but your mind is not on the road per se, because your mind is on God, you know? So how do you stay focused when we are praying?
Well, very important and practical question. Again, in my little wisdom, what I would say is that sometimes we try to exaggerate the realities that we are living in. Distractions in prayer, some distractions are physical. For example, this is why you hear Jesus say, when you pray, go into a closet.
Okay.
The idea is that you are going to have a concentrated moment and focusing on God who you are praying to. So distraction is about who is it that I'm talking to.
I see.
Like I'm having a conversation with my father.
Yeah.
I respect the Muzee so much. I respect the man so much. I would not be talking to him while pressing the phone.
I would not
be talking to him while looking the other way.
Mm.
So we close our eyes essentially because we do not want, while we are engaged in this intense heart-to-heart conversation, other things come our way. But there are times when we are going to. So if I am going to pray in a mall, really, unless it is an emergency, but I can still talk to God while my eyes are open, because you are going to just have an accident, my brother. I mean, honestly speaking, sister, you can't be reverting and your eyes are closed and you're saying, I'm in prayer.
Yeah.
Because then in that case, prayer becomes a distraction to your prayer, to your driving. At that moment, what are you doing? God is a jealousy God.
Mm.
If you want to give him a worthy thanks, you must stop the car, park aside and pray so that you focus on talking to God. But if you're going to pray in an emergency situation, you need to talk to God. Something is eating you up. You can as well speak to God. Your eyes are open. Somebody will think you are drunk. Somebody will think you are sick, but you are speaking. You're talking to God. Lord, I need you to come through for me. At this moment, I have no options. You are in an interview. They're interviewing you and they're asking you questions. You are praying. As they are asking you questions, you are actually whispering a prayer. You say, Lord, guide me. What do I do? So what he wants is a close relationship with us. Distractions are truly there. That's why he says, don't be like hypocrites.
Hey.
You're going to stand in the middle of the road and you start praying. Your prayer life becomes a distraction to other people. I've heard people who say, no, go stand by the door. Start declaring this and this. Imagine if you woke up or your children woke up and they found you praying at the door and you're praying because you don't want demons to come in the house and go out. They'll say, hey, has this man become a sangoma or something?
Yeah.
So we should not be a temptation to others. The object is not people. The object is God. Why wouldn't we find an opportune place, quiet and solitary, so that we can pray because we know who we are talking to? But circumstances not permitting that you can go in a secluded place, you can still have an engagement with God. All what is important is having your mind connected with God. Otherwise, prayer itself will end up being a distraction. Then lastly, you could be in a church or you could be in a place. Bringing it more practical, I remember that there are times when you can be on my knees. It has happened to me. Maybe I'm of little faith. I don't know about you, Ceci. But it has happened to me when I kneel down. My routine time to pray has come in the morning when I wake up. Same thing. I kneel down. But I'm thinking about something, maybe work-related or just something. And I'm on my knee.
Wondering praying, mind.
But my mind is wandering. It's resting. In that moment, it is even, I think once in a while I've told my wife, we are praying, she's the one who is praying, then she's yawning in the middle of prayer.
How?
I'm like, hey, it means your mind really is. So there are a lot of signs within our body mechanism that can tell us to say, here, we are just talking, but the connection is not there. So when you are on your knees and you're thinking about something else, I have literally sometimes I have to stop myself. I'm like, Lord, let's talk after a minute. And then I think through it and then I get back so that again, it's not about feeling fixture. It's about having a conversation. How would you feel if I meet you and I'm just saying, good morning? There is a greeting which is not out of care. There's a greeting which is routine. But if I'm saying, hey, good morning, how are you today? You see, I love the dress. I love the energy. How is home? How is mama? The last time you say that this one is writing the exams, what is going on?
Yeah.
So because there's that engagement in the conversation, you can see how somebody is paying attention and you can tell that they're interested. The same way with God. When we are distracted with our own things, even our own cares, they can be... Remember that story Christ gave where they are choked. So distractions can even be the cares of this world. It can be the successes of this world. It can be the problems. And all those things, we just need to put them into perspective. Mm. And then when we do that, we will know that we are within what the Lord requires of us.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, my elder, you know, as we wrap it up, you know, what are some effective ways that we can use or we can practice, you know, to pray effectively when we are faced, you know, with major challenges and decisions in our lives? Others say, you know, you pray before the challenge comes because you don't know what the challenge is going to be. So you pray so that God gives you, you know, wisdom should a challenge comes. As I say, when you are in the midst of the storm, that is how you know you pray and then God will see you through. But what are those practical steps? Because sometimes when the issues happen, Elder, we don't even know Psalm 23. You know, the simplest one, we don't even remember, you know, what that particular verse say. And even sometimes prayer is not the first thing that comes into our mind. But how now do you cultivate that spirit of saying, when you're facing challenges, pray, and this is how you actually pray for it to be effective?
Yes. So what you've said are very practical things. Look, when we are down, we are faced with certain situations. Prayer is the last thing on our minds.
Mm.
But you see, because we prayed effectively in the morning for God to guide us throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
you find that when we face certain situations, the grace of God is still with us. That is where you hear God saying, I will answer even before they call.
Mm.
There are things I have experienced in my life recently where something has happened because somebody went to discuss my name. And before I ask for something, I don't know how I can put it, but I had found myself in a situation where my boss went and took up a task with the HR and said, no, I want this and this for this gentleman.
Okay.
What came to me is, on top of everybody else's increment, I was given an increment of 18%, and I'm wondering why.
Mm.
Here is somebody who has gone to fight for me for something.
Mm.
Meanwhile, I'm not praying about it. I'm doing something else, but the answer has come.
Yes.
So there are many times when out of the intimacy we have with God, the relationship we have developed with God, he is gracious enough to carry us through in the times when we can't pray, when you are heartbroken, when you are mourning. So the effectiveness of prayer is in the sincerity of our hearts desiring that relationship in the morning when we are praying, when things are okay, the faithfulness that we come to God with, when we ask him and we believe in him and we don't doubt, when we are not able to utter a word of prayer, I think for me, it will come through. What about putting aside non-sin? If you know the sin that so easily besets you, it's going to make your prayer ineffective. And as a result, it will expose you. You become vulnerable to the devil's attack. So how about putting that sin aside and then live a life free of offense before God and before fellow men, so that even when you are not in the best way, your life will be. Then also developing a culture of just learning from how God's will works within our lives. You will not pray amiss, and you are... So all those are just adding into effective prayer. Others have given a lot of other thoughts. No, you need to start the formula, adoration and all that. But all in all, I think effective prayer is developing a relationship with God, so much so that even on a day when you are not able to say anything, you are able to be saved by the grace that God has on us. Effective prayer can save a lot of things, but to engage in it, put aside evil, be consistent with your God, be able to worship and adore him, be able to be sincere, to request for what you want. When you are repentant of your sins, I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than that which we ask or imagine. But even if you don't receive the answer there and then, would it be effective prayer? Yes. Okay? Prayer, we need to experience a lot of things in order for us to really get to a point where we can say I understand and I am grateful as I grow in grace. Because other people think effective prayer is when I pray for the sick, immediately they must get well. What happens when you pray? If you have prayed as you should, but they die, is it also effective prayer? I think it is all to do with how we relate with God, even irrespective of the results. The results will not tell that, will not always be an indicator that this is effective or not effective.
Indeed. Hi, it's going to be a very interesting week, I believe so. To our listeners at home, if you do have questions or if you do want to have comments, you can text us on +27734703520, right? Make sure that you do that as we continue this conversation about prayers with my elder here. So, elder, as we close, please do offer a word of prayer as well.
Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven above, we come to you to ask for your grace upon our lives. We may not know what language to use before you, O God. We know how to speak to our kings. We know how to speak to our fathers and our parents in respect and honor. It is with the same humbled hearts that we come to you. That number one, Father, have mercy upon us. That there remain, that there will be no sin in our lives uncondemned. For we know sin is a destruction and repugnant before your presence. We plead and pray that for all the things that we are needing, the blessings that we need, the good health that we need, you are faithful, you are righteous, you are good. In some places you have even said, you know we need these things. So Father, we pray, may your spirit ever lead us, that as we learn at your feet, we will grow in grace. The presenter and this week is not, you have not summarized all the knowledge and wisdom in them. As they bring their opinions, may we only pick the opinions that are in line with your will, discarding human theories. Thank you because you've heard our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Elder, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day till we chat again tomorrow.
Amen. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.